Between the Lines
with Sarah McInerney.
This is News Talk.
Welcome to Between the Lines. Every Saturday morning on this programme, we take a closer look at some of the main stories and issues of the week. We're joined by Mick Clifford, special correspondent with the Irish Examiner and author of A Force for Justice, the Maurice McCabe story, to talk us through how we got to this point exactly. Because, Mick, I think a lot of people are looking around the place saying, is this about an email? How did this happen? You know, I think people who haven't been following what's been going on over the last couple of weeks are sort of in shock at how something could have rolled and got so big so quickly. So no, it didn't necessarily start with an email. It started with Alan Kelly, the Labour Party deputy leader's parliamentary questions about what Francis Fitzgerald, what the Department for Justice knew about Maurice McCabe and the legal strategy being deployed against him. Tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah, I mean, sir, to some extent that came out of the blue in terms of we're now, what, 2.5 years on from the kernel of the time they're talking about, which is May 2015, and then following that, May 2016. And then suddenly we have these questions from Alan Kelly. Now, to put that in context, I don't know where Alan Kelly's getting his information, but I do know this much. He's vice chair of the PAC. In that capacity, he was one of the main politicians investigating the Garda issues in Templemore College. And one can only assume through that he has built up some contacts in the Gardaí and elsewhere. Whether or not that's the source of his information, we can only speculate. But we do know that he started putting down these parliamentary questions, which harked back to May 2015. Now, all of this is complicated, so I'll try and simplify it. May 2015 is the start of the O'Higgins Commission. The O'Higgins Commission was looking into Maurice McCabe's complaints of malpractice by the Gardaí in Cavan Monaghan. On day two of that commission, we revealed this a year later in the Examiner when the report came out, an issue arose as to how the Garda commissioner was going to regard Maurice McCabe as a witness at this commission. The judge was told by the Garda Commissioner's counsel that they would be going after Maurice McCabe's integrity and character. Their case would be that at a particular meeting some 7 years previously, Maurice McCabe had expressed a grudge against the senior Garda and that this contributed to him bringing the complaints of malpractice. If that were to be the case, it would deal a severe blow to Maurice McCabe's character, to his motivation, and by extension to the complaints that he was making about what was severe malpractice within the force. That's the situation that existed at the time. Now we move forward. Alan Kelly brings up these questions, and they're basically to determine who had knowledge at that time that Maurice McCabe was going to be treated in this manner.
Did the Department of Justice know that Maurice McCabe was going to be gone after by the Gardaí? Did Francis Fitzgerald know? Who knew what
exactly
about the strategy?
Yeah.
All right, so Alan Kelly puts down these questions at the beginning of the month, and he asks these questions. He also pulls in Noel Waters, who still is the Secretary General of the Department of Justice, although he's retiring shortly. We'll be discussing that as well. He pulls him into it, and what did he know about it? So when he puts down these parliamentary questions, the department does a trawl to try and find the answers. What did they find?
They came back with answers that were very incomplete, and they were, you and me anyway, in the line of work, you'd have seen parliamentary responses that are basically, you know, kind of going around the houses. That was largely what it was. Alan Kelly was not pleased with this. He made a complaint about what he regarded as incomplete questions being furnished in the Parliament. He made a complaint to the Ceann Comhairle as a result of that. And then he put in some more questions again along the same lines, which, if one is to read the question, was quite obviously coming from pretty solid information on his part.
All right. So November 9th, the Department of Justice finds an email. And this email was sent to Francis Fitzgerald in May 2015. What did that email say?
15th of May 2015 was the day, as I mentioned, that this strategy became known at the O'Higgins Commission. The email effectively said, an issue has arisen relating to Maurice McCabe. And now, see, it's a bit confusing, the email, because it refers to the independent review mechanism, not to make it too confusing. But the gist of the whole email was, the allegation against Maurice McCabe has been introduced at the tribunal and is being used as a legal strategy, but you don't have to do anything about it. You should stay away from it. That was the gist of this contentious email.
All right. So the Department of Justice finds on the 9th of November that an email was sent to Frances Fitzgerald telling her this is the legal strategy that's going to be deployed against Maurice McCabe. So firstly, they told Charlie Flanagan, we only found out about this recently, but this is Charlie Flanagan describing to RTE News about what happened on November 13th, the start of last week, when he was told about this email.
I became aware of a document which subsequently transpired to be the email early last week on Monday the 13th. I was speaking with my Secretary General. He informed me of his intention to retire early after 40 years. In passing, he mentioned that there was a document had come to hand. I immediately said that that document should be furnished through the Tribunal of Inquiry for dealing by Judge Charlton.
Okay, so the department finds the email on the 9th of November, and a couple of days later, Noel Waters rings Charlie Flanagan. Noel Waters, the General Secretary of the Department of Justice, rings the Minister for Justice to, first of all, announce his retirement.
Yeah.
This is in the middle of all this. Why is Noel Waters retiring?
Well, apparently his 40 years are up and he'd made a decision to leave. It could well be a coincidence that he is ringing his minister to tell him this at the same time he's telling him about what turns out to be a highly contentious document.
All right, so we don't know, because he was due to retire in February, Noel Waters, but suddenly in the middle of all this, when questions are being asked about whether he knew about all this happening, he decides that he's going to retire. So he rings Charlie Flanagan and says, I'm going to retire. Oh, and by the way, there's this document, this email, which shows that Minister Francis Fitzgerald was informed about this in May 2015. Charlie Flanagan says, send it on to the tribunal, but doesn't tell anybody.
No.
So the next day, on Tuesday, after that call between Charlie Flanagan and Noel Waters, the Taoiseach first addresses the controversy in the Dáil. And at this point, he says that Taoiseach Francis Fitzgerald, who, as we've been discussing, was then the Justice Minister, had no prior knowledge of the legal strategy and that she only became aware of it when it came out in the media. Here's Leo Varadkar.
To answer your question, I spoke to the Taoiseach yesterday, who is currently in the United Arab Emirates on a trade mission. She confirmed to me that she had no hand, act or part in forming the former commissioner's legal strategy, nor did she have any prior knowledge of the legal strategy that the former commissioner's team pursued. She did find out about it after the fact, but around the time it was in the public domain when everyone else knew about it as well. Needless to say, the current Minister for Justice was not the Minister for Justice at the time and also had no hand, act or part or prior knowledge of the legal strategy being pursued. In terms of the Department of Justice, the Department of Justice hasn't been able to find any record of being prior informed or being informed before the fact about the legal strategy that the Commissioner was going to pursue. They were told, the Department was told about the approach taken by the Commissioner's senior counsel, but that was after the cross-examination had taken place. I know you've claimed that it was a call on the day of the cross-examination to the Secretary General. We haven't been able to confirm if that's the case or not. I think perhaps it is not.
Right. So he misleads it all on a number of different issues there, doesn't he?
He does, yeah. I mean, the gist of it being, and I think the main part there was he suggested that the Minister for Justice, as she was, did not find out about this until the same time as it was in the media, which in fact was a year later. She did find out about it previously. She didn't find out the detail, but she had been informed in that email that there was a strategy attacking Maurice McCabe at this commission.
So Leo says she found out about it in May 2016, around the time everybody else did. The Department of Justice knows that's not true. Charlie Flanagan is sitting right beside the Taoiseach and doesn't tap him on the shoulder and say, by the way, there's an email I've asked to be sent on to the tribunal. So the next day, the Taoiseach is asked about this again, and we see a little element of backtrack. This is November 15th, Wednesday of last week.
The Department of Justice has said to me that they were not made aware of it until after the fact. But the Department of Justice is a big place. It's not a person. It's a person. It's a body that has hundreds of staff. And can I put my hand on my heart here and say that there isn't one person somewhere who might have been told something by someone? I can't give you that answer. But what I have been told is that the department was not made aware of it.
Thank you,
until after the fact. And the Taoiseach did not become aware of it herself until around the time it entered the public domain.
Thank you very much, Deputy.
All right, we can see a little bit of backtracking, or at least trying to insulate himself from what might be to come by saying the department's a big place. I can't put my hand on my heart and say there's nothing there. I don't know about you, Mick, what your theory is on that, but my theory is that he sees Alan Kelly pursuing this and pursuing this and pursuing this. He knows Alan Kelly has something that perhaps he doesn't know about, so he's trying to protect himself. That's my theory as to why he's saying
that. I agree with you 100%, Sarah. I mean, at that stage, the detail of Alan Kelly's questions, the nature of the Department of Justice, I think Leo Varadkar is sensing, hold on, there's something here.
I don't know what it is.
And that's a theme that runs through the whole thing. Like, as you said, Charlie Flanagan sitting beside me knows. Everybody, and it was in the report that was done into the Department of Justice after Alan Shatter resigned. There was a Toland report done, and there's a reference there to silo-like approach to everything. And that seems to emanate out from the department. Unless you're told something officially, you don't know it, and you don't want to be telling things to people unless you have to or you're told to or whatever. It's a total unreal type of an approach to administration of a public body, a vital public body like that. And to be quite honest, and I've looked at various elements of the department, I've looked apart from the Gardaí, right throughout the Gardaí, also the prison service, that approach to business is there the whole time and is responsible, in one way, for leading to so much trouble.
And how many times have we talked about the Department of Justice and the need to reform the Department of Justice, and we see it here again. But back to November 15th. So Leo Varadkar, as I say, stands up, seems to be trying to insulate himself from what he suspects might be to come. Charlie Flanagan sitting right beside him again, second day in a row. This time he's sitting three seats away. He still is the only person in Cabinet who knows that there was an email May 2015 telling Francis Fitzgerald about this. And yet he gets his back up at being asked questions about this. He interrupts leaders' questions and accuses Alan Kelly of a smear campaign.
Having regard to the fact that the person asking the question made specific reference to me, I will ask you, Cian Corla, for protection in this house. I will not have my good name and my professional reputation traduced by Deputy Alan Kelly, both inside this house and outside. If there are matters for the tribunal, and I make this with regard to a point of order, if there are matters germane to the tribunal, that's the place for it. But I will ask Deputy Kelly now to desist from engaging in a smear campaign against me personally and professionally.
Can you understand at all, Mick, why Charlie Flanagan would not have told anybody about this, despite seeing this play out in the Dáil and seeing his leader give incorrect information to the Dáil?
I can't. Only Charlie Flanagan can answer that. Was it a question of he saw this as something to do specifically with the issues the Charlton's investigating, and therefore that's the place to put it? Again, it's that silo thing. Did he do that and not connect that with the actual political reality of what was going on inside the Dáil? Is he relying on the old one, going back to the days of when Fianna Fáil were in government and you had the Mahon Tribunal going on? I can't touch that. That's a matter for the tribunal. It's this whole thing again and again. It's, you know, the way we have a holistic approach to something. This is the polar opposite of that.
And we see it again then with Francis Fitzgerald, because on Thursday last week, Francis Fitzgerald is the second cabinet minister to find out that, yes, she did actually get an email in May 2015 telling her about the strategy that was going to be pursued against Maurice McCabe. She finds this out on Thursday. Friday, Saturday, Sunday, she doesn't say a word about it to Taoiseach Leo Varadkar, who stood up in the Dáil and misled the Dáil. Monday evening at 11:30, Leo Varadkar gets first sight of that email after it's been discussed on the Clare Byrne show. It's been broken by yourself and Katie Hannan.
Well, Katie Hannan broke this herself, but the thing about that was, I think she said herself that she was tipped off or something in justice. But supposing she hadn't been tipped off, I mean, supposing she hadn't been on the ball there, would it have come out at all? That's the other question.
I think that's actually quite key to this at this point, Mick, in terms of the transparency or lack thereof of this government. Alan Kelly was asking informed questions, and at every turn he was thwarted and they ducked and they dodged. And even when they found out that, yes, there was an email, that should have been made clear to him, to Alan Kelly. It should have been made clear to the Dáil. Two cabinet ministers knew about it. Would they ever have talked about it if journalists hadn't found
it? And you said, Sarah, there, the transparency of this government. Well, I would contend that the transparency of governments here in general, because we've had scenarios not dissimilar to this going all the way back decades, and you have the same approach. You go back to the 90s and you had this business about the priest, Brendan Smith. You had various issues to do with Bertie Ahern inside in tribunals in the 80s. You know, this thing is constantly coming back again, this culture of secrecy.
Tell them nothing.
Tell them nothing. If it is not put there on official paper before me, I do not officially know it.
Even when it is put on official paper before me.
Yeah, exactly.
I decide to tell them nothing.
Exactly, yeah. And again, it's back, I think it was at Lamass that first coined that phrase of, I answered the questions that were put before me, the problem was the questions. In other words, unless I'm asked the specific detail of something, I will not give the complete answer.
Yeah. All right, so Tuesday then, this email has come out on the Monday night. The Taoiseach has finally seen sight of the email and he confirms to the Dáil that the Taoiseach did receive an email in May 2015, but the Taoiseach says that this was after the fact.
Subsequent to my reply in this House last week, I received some new information in the form of an email I saw at 11:30 p.m. last night for the first time. The email is an email between two officials in the Department of Justice describing a conversation with a third party, an official in the Office of the Attorney General. This email was then forwarded to the Minister for Information. The email speaks of a dispute between the legal team of the Garda Commissioner at the time and Sergeant McCabe. It concludes that neither the Attorney General nor the Minister had any function in the matter.
So we're going to move on to Wednesday then, because this keeps rolling. The Taoiseach again forced to correct the record of the Dáil, admitting that the Taoiseach received the email on November 15th, which was 3 days before the cross-examination of Sergeant McCabe took place.
Yes, I've confidence in the Taoiseach, but no, I'm not satisfied with the fact that on a number of occasions, on at least two occasions in the past week, I've been given incomplete information from the Department of Justice. And my role here is to account for the government to the House, and it is not something that I like to see happen. What I think is agreed in this House, and I hope it is agreed, is that the Taoiseach had no hand, act or part in the Garda Commission. So I think the leader of the opposition, Deputy Martin, has at least accepted that, that the Taoiseach had no hand, act or part in the commissioner's legal strategy. She did not know about it until after the fact, which was after opening statements when it was already underway. I'd have to check the record myself. I don't honestly recall specifically mentioning the cross-examination. But if it is the case that I said, that I specifically referred to the cross-examination and said that the Taoiseach didn't know until after the cross-examination, then I'm happy to correct the record in that regard, if that's what I said. That is not the information that I was given by the Department of Justice was that neither the Department nor the Taoiseach were aware until after the fact. That briefing did not specify what after the fact meant. We now understand...
Deputies, please.
We now understand after the fact to have meant after the opening statements, after the Commission had already started its work and was underway.
So, Mick, why then a lot of focus then on this after the fact aspect of it? The Taoiseach trying to say, or bluff really from what I can tell, that when he said after the fact, what he meant was the Taoiseach was informed about the McCabe strategy after the Commission had started, as opposed to after the strategy was deployed.
Yeah, I mean, and look, the whole thing, Sarah, is splitting hairs. There's a very simple thing here. The Minister of the day was informed that the man whom she had lauded, whom the public rightly regarded at that stage as having raised issues of genuine public concern, was being attacked behind the closed doors of the Commission. This defence about she could not legally interfere is a complete distraction. There was nothing to stop her. In fact, you could argue that she had a duty to pick up the phone and ring the Garda Commissioner and say, I see this is happening. Can you tell me why? Is there a valid reason for this? What is it based on? Just so I can understand it, just so I have political cover, even if you want to put it that way, because I was led to believe, and I have met Maurice McCabe, and he seems like an honourable man. Can you tell me, please, what is going on? That is very simply what the whole thing boils down to, and she chose not to do that.
Why do you think she chose not to? Because some of the suggestions or some of the things that have been implied over the last couple of days is that Frances Fitzgerald was in on this big conspiracy to smear Maurice McCabe. Do you think she was?
I don't. I personally don't. I do think this, like many, if not most ministers for justice, to a greater or lesser extent, she became a prisoner of the department itself. Now, there are elements in the department who I believe were certainly of that mind to go after Sergeant McCabe. I don't think she was. I personally, and this is only an opinion, I think her instinct, like that perhaps of an awful lot of people who would have been in the same situation, was stay away, this is potentially toxic, Alan Shatter's gone, a Garda Commissioner is gone, I don't want to have any political fallout coming back on me. Stay away and do nothing. Combined with the fact that that email told her she didn't have to do anything. Now, somebody suggested to me it was a classical Yes Minister scenario in which Sir Humphrey would address the minister and say, you know that disproved allegation that was made about the whistleblower you have been praising? Well, it's being used against him behind closed doors, but you don't have to do anything about it.
So she took the easy way out because she was told she didn't have to do anything about it. So she didn't.
I can't see any other explanation there.
Right. Okay.
Her other big problem, of course, is that 12 months later, when this became public, we published it first in the Examiner, she gave the impression, if not stating explicitly, that this was the first she heard of it. As Leo Varadkar said the previous week, she has an issue there as well. Why then? And the notion that she could not remember a vital email. Remember, except she gets hundreds of thousands of emails. This now is not your average email coming in. The notion that she did not remember at that stage or that it was not brought to her attention, that seems very difficult to believe, to be quite honest with you.
All right, so in terms of what was actually in the email then, we also saw confusion over that. Staying with the Taoiseach for a second, Leo Varadkar admitted that he was confused and there was confusion around the details of the email. He told the Dáil that he had spoken to Sergeant Maurice McCabe for about 15 or 20 minutes, and here's what he had to say.
And I read the email out to him, and he actually disputes the contents of the email. He says that these criminal allegations around sex abuse were not raised that day. In fact, weren't raised at all at the commission, at the O'Higgins Commission. And he says that the transcripts of the O'Higgins Commission will show that. So that leaves all of us in a position where we are all a little bit confused because we don't even know if the contents of this email were actually accurate.
I suppose the confusion here, Mick, is what exactly did Maurice McCabe think this criminal complaint was referring to? Because the email said that there was a serious criminal complaint that was going to be brought up as part of the legal strategy against Maurice McCabe.
Yeah.
Maurice McCabe says, no, that's wrong.
Yeah, and there's a couple things about that. First of all, it was described as a serious criminal complaint or allegation. The actual allegation that was made, and we saw this was done in public in the Charlton Tribunal in July, was not a serious complaint. In fact, it wasn't even of a criminal nature, according to the DPP. According to the State Solicitor, it was, if it ever happened, and he denies it ever happened, it was horseplay and no more. And you have to also put it in the context that the woman who is alleging it is the daughter of a colleague of Maurice McCabe's whom he had reported and was disciplined as a result. That is the background to that. I think Maurice McCabe's position was that even that was not being brought up. What was being brought up was allegations about his reaction to the investigation of that back in 07. In other words, anybody who knew the detail of that allegation knew there was nothing to it. They were not going after him for that. They were going after him what they alleged was his reaction to the investigation into it. In other words, that he was displeased with the way the Gardaí had investigated it or dealt with it, and this had motivated his complaints. And he was then forced, I think he didn't even know he had it at the time, but he had done it to protect himself. He was forced to produce this tape recording that showed he did not say that he had a grudge against somebody over that investigation. He said nothing of the sort. And once he did that, it was laid aside. It has to be said, throughout the rest of that O'Higgins Commission, there was continually a hostile attitude towards him. Even though the issue over saying that he had a grudge had to be dropped because he had the tape recording, there was still a hostile attitude towards him right throughout the commission.
Just in terms of that email, Mick, is there, in terms of what it said and what Francis Fitzgerald knew or didn't know? So it says, even though this is not what Maurice McCabe said happened, it says that the Gardaí were planning on bringing up evidence of a serious criminal complaint against Maurice McCabe as part of their legal strategy. Did Francis Fitzgerald know at that point anything about what that serious criminal complaint was, or the fact that it wasn't a serious criminal complaint, or the fact that it had been investigated and had been disproven? Did she know any of that, or is it possible that she saw serious criminal complaint and she thought, okay, that's fair enough, they have something on them, they're going to bring it up, it's good to know?
Yeah, she did. She was informed the email, and the impression from the email was that she had previously been informed, and that was that separate to all of this, the previous year when Alan Shatter had resigned and that an independent mechanism was set up to investigate 200 to 300 complaints that people had made against the Gardaí. One of these was from this woman, Miss D, who'd made this allegation, who'd been brought to see Micheál Martin, who met Alan Shatter. She complained that in the original Garda investigation into her complaint was not conducted properly. She alleged Maurice McCabe had friends. I mean, frankly, some of it was ludicrous. In any event, the mechanism investigated this and they decided, no, her complaint, no validity. It had been investigated perfectly, properly, right the way through. Frances Fitzgerald was aware of that. And that adds a further question as to, if she was aware of that and she sees that this is being brought up, even though she isn't given the detail in the commission, why did it not ring alarm bells? Mm. Why did it not induce her to say, they're going after Maurice McCabe, but as far as I know, there's nothing to this. Why are they going after him? Mm. Nothing. She just walked away from the whole thing.
So there's no defence for Frances Fitzgerald there, that she could have just not realised that this was a serious criminal complaint, or she could have just accepted that at face value. She knew better.
The defence that the government have been putting up is that she was legally precluded from doing so and would have been on the advice of the Attorney General. Nobody is suggesting that she should have instructed her counsel to go in there and object to it or anything like that. She was effectively the chairman of the Gardaí. The commissioner was the chief executive. If you take any corporate situation where the chairman is informed that the chief executive may be doing something or something has been done in the company that looks off, suspicious, whatever, you ring up and you say, what's going on? Mm. At the very least. And you put that also in the context of politically the fallout that there already had been around the Maurice McCabe affair. And you put all that together. And suddenly, Frances Fitzgerald sees or doesn't remember or doesn't see this and takes no action. Now, the one thing I will say, in her defence, I would tend to believe that the vast majority of politicians would have done the same thing in that scenario. And all the circumstantial evidence of that is in how so many of them ran away from Maurice McCabe 2 years previously when he was trying to highlight these issues. The rumours, the scurrilous rumours that were part of a smear campaign were around, and all politicians, apart from three of them that I can think of, all of them, ran away rather than take a risk that there might have been anything to the rumours, which we now know, of course, there wasn't. But most of them would have done exactly the same thing. That is probably the only defence she has in that scenario.
All right, we've been talking about her for the last half an hour. Let's hear what the Taoiseach herself had to say this Thursday. This is Frances Fitzgerald taking leaders' questions, and this is what she had to say.
I am not trying to hide anything. I was not part of any conspiracy to undermine Sergeant McCabe. Quite the contrary. To say that I did not act is not correct. I did not interfere with the legal strategy. And I'm really surprised that some of the suggestions that have already been made on the floor of the House from Deputy O'Callaghan, who says I should have discussed the legal strategy and so on. That would have been illegal. It would have been a criminal act for me to try and influence the legal strategy of the Garda Síochána.
And we know, Mick, that Micheál Martin said yesterday that the only way to avoid a general election at this point is for Frances Fitzgerald to go. Leo Varadkar said he's not going to sack her. The ball is now in Frances Fitzgerald's court.
Yeah, it would seem to be. And again, sir, the only thing I would say is what I find, because I've covered this thing back 4 or 5 years now, what I find a bit difficult to take is the element of self-righteousness that is abounds about the protection of whistleblowers. When it mattered, there was no sight of any of them. There was a sight of Claire Daly, Mick Wallace, John McGuinness. Apart from them, nobody wanted to know. And now suddenly, we have senior politicians marching around the place talking about the protection of Maurice McCabe, what he was subjected to, the failure to protect whistleblowers. It has to be said, later in 2014, both Micheál Martin and Leo Varadkar both intervened, but by then, Maurice McCabe had effectively been sanitised and people realised how solid he was.
And if you want to find out a little bit more about Maurice McCabe and indeed how solid he is, you can read Mick's book. It's called A Force for Justice, the Maurice McCabe story. It only came out a couple of weeks ago. Excellent present for Christmas, Mick, given everything that's going
Thanks
on.
If you want
to get up on it. Mick Clifford, special correspondent with the Irish Examiner. Thank you so much for joining us this morning.
Between the Lines on News Talk.